Amen, amen. I want to go to the Word of the Lord, Matthew, the 14th chapter. I'm going to begin reading at the 22nd verse. And it's so good to have each and every one of you here tonight in the presence of God. And I'm excited to get to meet some folks, that's all new for me. It's only my second service. So it's good to meet the rest of you and get to meet Cody and his family tonight. So good to have you. And thankful for what God's going to do in every single life. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship," this was where the disciples were, "in that was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." Would you say that with me? The wind was contrary. "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them," you might even say third shift, "went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Simon Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" Do you notice that this is Simon Peter crying out to Jesus in the middle of a storm? And you would think that this man who is now following Jesus, and now seemingly he has taken his eyes off of Jesus, that maybe the Lord would just teach him a lesson, say, "You know what, you're just going to have to sink this time." But no, the Bible says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they were that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.'" And I just want to preach here for a few minutes tonight this simple topic. It may seem elementary to you, but it's what I feel to preach to you, is keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Oh, I wonder, would you do that right now? Would you just say, "God, I'm looking to you, and I need you to help me tonight. Lord, I'm asking that you would do it in every life. Lord, every heart that is crying out by faith for help and for you to fix the things that are broken, I pray, God, that it would be so. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, every husband, wife, and family, God, join us together in seeking for you. We want you and we desire you in Jesus' name." Oh, would you say that with me? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Now, we all understand this. If any of you have been like I was when I was a kid, tried to replicate this walking on water, and quickly found out that I sank like a rock. So I was more like Simon Peter than I knew, because his name means rock. And so I figured out that I just sank beneath the waves. But Simon Peter didn't walk on water because he obeyed the laws of nature. But Simon Peter walked in a place he didn't have no business walking, because Jesus said, "Come." So I'll break that down to you. What that means to me is that the Word of God can take you places that nothing else can. That the power of God has the ability to give you freedom from a storm, freedom from a place that would drown you. See, he began to walk on something that other people would have drowned in. See, that's why I gotta be in church. That's why I gotta be associated with Jesus. Because there are people out in our world that are drowning, crying out for help and seemingly find none. But when Simon Peter walked according to what Jesus said, there was something that happened that even when his faith failed him, God was there to pick him up and to pluck him out of the waves. I'm here to tell you tonight, all you gotta do is keep your eyes on Jesus and everything's going to be okay. Come on. I may be in a storm. I may be in a place where I fear for my life. But if I keep my eyes on Jesus, I'm going to come out of this. There's going to be another side. There's going to be another opportunity. I'm telling you tonight, somebody needs to say, God, regardless of my current circumstances, if I put my eyes on you, I wish somebody would put God to the test tonight and say, God, it doesn't look good where I am right now, but if you'll give me an opportunity, I'm going to begin to look at you. I'm going to begin to hear your voice and obey your word. And when I do, God, pull me out. See, you'll notice that Jesus didn't give Simon Peter this theological dissertation. So I lost some of you there. He didn't sit down and break down his word and give him all of the Greek and the Hebrew. I like to do that because I like to understand what I'm saying, right, Brother Micah? But guess what? He said, when Simon Peter spoke in faith, he said, Lord, if that is you, bid me come. Jesus said, well, come. Come. It wasn't boom. Wow. It was come. Just come on, bud. Get on out of there. Let's go. Simon Peter could have said, well, I didn't hear the thundering voice of God from heaven. I didn't see the lightning crash. See, sometimes we wait on things to rock us and to shake us. And sometimes God just says, come. If it's too ordinary for you, are you going to respond? If I say tonight that God can truly change your life if you repent of your sins, if you let Him give you the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you let Him pour out His love and His mercy in an altar, if that's too simple for you, well then I might as well quit, because that's what happened for me and everybody in here, that we met God in a place of need and of desperation and sometimes out of confusion and the darkness and the chaos, but so did Simon Peter. And he looked around, he said, how am I going to get from here to where you are? And Jesus didn't say, let me break this down every single step. But you know what he said, Brother Marcus? He said, come. Just go ahead. Take action. You don't have to figure it all out. Some of us want to have the business plan laid out. We want to have the A to Z and everything figured out. Oh, how am I going to live for God? How am I going to be a part of this? Do I have to do what you do? No. Quit trying to figure it all out, because sometimes we can figure ourselves out of what God wants. Because Simon Peter would have had every right to say it, Brother Hunter. He could have said, this is dumb. The smart move is to stay in the boat. Jesus told us originally, get in the boat, go the other side. But when God is there, you do what He says then. And He said, come. It's basic. Come. Wow, it's that easy. And looky there, he's walking on water. He's doing something physically impossible for anybody else to do. And all he did was obey a simple command from Jesus. Oh, that's what the Bible says in Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when God said to Simon Peter, come, out of the impossible came the possible. Out of the eternal came the supernatural. And Simon Peter, who was natural, had the ability to overcome the natural because of the supernatural word, come. It was a basic common word. But when When we say repent, what it means is I get to lay down all of my past and pick up a new future. It seems like it's just one word, repent. It's just one word, turn from your sins. Turn from the past that's haunted you. Turn from the brokenness. Turn from the heartache and the turmoil. And when you do, you get to come out of the place that once held you captive. And Simon Peter, he walked on the water and he began to come, but he was heading to Jesus. And when he got there, but here's the problem. Before he got there, the Bible says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. I'd love to tell you that everything's gravy. It's all easy, Brother Daniel. It don't matter what it is. It's just, you just start walking and there'd be no problems. Anybody that's lived life for more than 2 years, you understand that life is a four-letter word. And sometimes it's life be lifing. And it's not always fun and games. And so here it is, we're dealing with this because he's looking around. He's being obedient to the word of God. Sure. He's being a good saint, Pastor. He's doing what God said. He first got in the boat, going the other side, and now Jesus said, come. And look at him. He's having faith, and he steps out of the boat. He steps out of the comfort zone, and he begins to walk on water, but then he shows his humanity. And some of us, our humanity shows. And we say, you know what, I would do that for God, but look at all of this storm. Look at all of these things that are around me. I'm definitely not enough. I can't get to where Jesus is. And see, the problem is that Hebrews tells us that Jesus or God upholds all things by the word of his power. And so when creation came forth and God said, let there be, and there was, that's the same God that spoke to Simon Peter, come. And we know that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We understand all of that, but in the moment of the storm, sometimes we get a little nervous. There's a little too much going on. I'm overstimulated. The bills are just keep coming. The family situation's getting worse. My marriage is not doing well. These storms seem to be breaking in on me. And all I want to do is duck and cover and hide. And I want to just run away from this place. But Simon Peter still had a command from Jesus to come to where he was. And so as he was going, he looks and he begins to see these other things. But the problem, as he began to look at the other things, he couldn't keep his eyes on Jesus. See, my wife worked at an eye doctor for some time. And so I'm very familiar with the process of going in and getting my eyes checked. My eyes are pretty bad. I have contacts in, and if I don't have my contacts or my glasses, I'm pretty near blind. I can see that you're a human blob, and that's it. I can't see, unless you get up close, I can tell who you are. But where you are, Brother Josh, I wouldn't be able to understand who you were. I just see your general form. And so I'm like Simon Peter, as I was looking at this and seeing this, it reminded me of that time in the eye doctor's office where they put me at this little machine and they showed me this little balloon, hot air balloon. Anybody ever seen that? And they show you that little hot air balloon. And I can't remember is that the machine that puffs a little puff of air in your eye? I can't remember. It's all them things. And I'm looking at that, but they say focus on that. And then there's a little, I think there's like a dot or something you got to see. But you'll find yourself kind of, your eye kind of wigging out because you can't look at both of those things at the same time. You can only look, you can only focus in on one thing at a time. You can only focus and be able to see at one depth, either the foreground, what's up close, or the background, what's far beyond. And so I don't want to get too technical here. I'll confuse myself. But the fovea, or the part of the retina that allows your eye to focus, only covers about 1 degree of our visual field, and we can see somewhere, I think it's like 270 degrees or something like that. But you can only focus in on 1% of that space. One, shall we say, 270th of that. And your brain fills in the rest based on where your eyes are focused. So we'll just practice here tonight. Once you just take your hand and put it right in front of your face, about 6 inches in front of your face. And then I want you to look at me at the same time. Put your hand in front of your face, hold it there, and then look at me. Can you see me pretty well? No, you probably can't. You can see your hand. Why? Because your hand, you're looking at something that's close to you, something that's in your face, something that's right there close. I can't see what's beyond that very well. I lose focus because I'm looking at that. And can I tell you, that's the problem with losing focus on Jesus, is because we see very clearly the storm and its ability to crash in on us. We feel the waves that are lapping at our feet. We feel the rain that's fallen on our head. We cannot do both things at once. Look at the storm and see Jesus in all his power. But I want to tell you tonight, it doesn't matter if you're in the storm. If you can see Jesus, you can come out of the storm. It doesn't matter what the situation looks like. If you can see that there's a God that's in heaven that says, I want to save you. I want to bring you out. Come on, Simon. You may feel like everything's falling apart, but when the wind was boisterous, I was afraid. And Jesus said, it's okay. I'm still here close enough that when he cried and he said, Lord, save me. Jesus, he wasn't across the ship. He wasn't on the other shore, but he was able to reach out and grab his hand. And he said, I've got you. I'm not going to let you go. Come on, Jesus. Jesus wants to reach out and grab you by the hand and bring you out of where you are. Come on. The devil doesn't have permission to break you or destroy you as long as you can keep your eyes on the master. Come on. I'm looking. I'm seeing. The storm didn't get worse. The storm very likely was the exact same when he stepped out of the boat from when he got into the waves and began to walk. We don't see anywhere but Troy that it all of a sudden, now the storm's worse that I'm now out in it. No, I just got a better look at it. See, some of us have our problems up close and personal. And so they just continue to, anybody know what magnifying is? I do that on anybody ever find yourself going up to it now, a picture on a wall or somewhere, and you start trying to zoom in with your fingers? You ever done that? How stupid it was I to do that. But you go over here and you start zooming, dummy. See, because I'm trying to focus in on it. I'm trying to look at it close. And it makes sense because I'm digital world now. But it makes it bigger. We do that with our own problems. It's not that the situation's changed. It's that we're so hyper-focused on it that we can't see anything else. But when that's why the Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. What does that mean? That means to begin to make him bigger. And the bigger you make God, the smaller you make the storm. The bigger you begin to seek God, you begin to say, you know what? God is a miracle worker. God can bring me out. God can save my family. God can put the pieces back together. Why? Because when you begin to look at God and you begin to focus on him, he begins to block the other things out. And somehow I began to say, you know what? Maybe really God can do it. Come on, new life. It's time for us to magnify God. It's time for us to glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's not about a man up here yelling. It's about saying, my God is bigger than my problems. My God is greater than every issue that I'm dealing with. Come on, the problem that you see is not bigger than God. You may be too close to it, but if you can call out. You know, Simon Peter, he wasn't the smartest man. The Bible says he was just a common fisherman, but he knew how to use his voice. When he called out, see, if a blind man can do it, Simon Peter did it and he wasn't blind. But you go over to Mark chapter 10 and you'll hear about a man named Bartimaeus who was blind. And Brother Brown, you say, well, he didn't have any eyes to put on Jesus. But he knew Jesus was there. You may not tonight, you can tell me, I can't see Jesus. But can you feel him? But can you hear about him? Can you know that he's still a miracle worker? Can you know that he's still able to bring us out of the situations we get ourselves in? See, Simon Peter, the storm's not worse today than it was yesterday. You've just been focusing on it. See, because where your eye goes, your body follows. See, who walks like this? Nobody does. You don't, do you?
I don't.
See, because if I'm, where my eye goes, there my body follows. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Come on. But I'm not perfect. But I don't have, I can't do what all those other people do. I've tried to live for God, tried to be a Christian, and it's not worked for me. Turn your eye on Jesus and let him show you the way. You ain't got to be perfect on your own. You ain't got to figure it all out on your own. But if you begin to look at Jesus, come on, the storm begins to grow smaller. The storm begins to drop into obscurity. Because the God of heaven becomes so great in my life.
Yes.
Come on, who tonight is looking, trying to look at the storm and look at God? See, you're going to wear your neck out trying to figure out what your next step is. But if you'll just look at Jesus. Oh, that's why the psalmist said, I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. He's the maker of heaven and earth. And he's the same one that when he spoke to the storm, he said, peace be still. And it had to obey. Have you let God speak to your storm yet? Because if you'll let God start speaking to your storm, the waves will calm down. Come on, the brokenness will begin to be fixed. Because what did David say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Why? Because you're with me. See, we want to use him like a blanket, like a child uses a safety blanket. One of those, anybody ever had, I don't know if the boys do this, but they want that special blanket to go to sleep, or they suck their thumb. That's a security thing. We can't treat God just like something that keeps me calm at night so I can go to sleep. Because we're way underutilizing him. But when we begin to say, I'm in a dark place, but there's a God that's showing me the way out. I'm in a place, come on, if you've ever been depressed, you don't have to be depressed. If you've ever been in turmoil, you don't have to be there. Because when God begins to walk through the place, that's a place of healing. That's a place of victory. And so I'm looking for that light. I'm looking for Jesus and his way. Come on, I don't have to walk through a dark valley alone. Because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's a man named Nick Walinda who was a tightrope walker, and he crossed Niagara Falls and even the Grand Canyon. And he says the key to walking the wire is to never look down. He said you keep your eyes locked on where you're going. Because where your eyes go, the rest of you follows. Go ahead. I want you to take inventory. What are you looking at in your life? Are you looking at what you don't have? Are you looking at what's wrong? Go ahead. Look at what's wrong. You'll find plenty of it. Sis, we can find so much wrong everywhere. Open your news feed. You'll find plenty wrong. Go to your family. You'll find plenty wrong.
Look in the mirror. You may have to admit some things. But the problem is that we begin to look at everybody else, and when we begin to focus on somebody else's problems, see, that's why we want to look at everybody else's problems, because when we focus on somebody else, maybe ours begin to get smaller a little bit for just a moment. But the problem is, as soon as you look back in them, that's your reference point. As soon as you begin to look at that again, they begin to grow. But I'm here to tell somebody, there is a God that wants to be able to heal and to minister and to bring us out and to save our soul. But we've got to begin to look to Him. Oh, why did the writer of Hebrews say, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith? See, I'm not looking down at ways, because even though I know that they're around me, I begin to focus on the one who's bringing me through. I can tell you tonight, I'm not perfect. I still got so much to learn. But Brother Craig, when I began to come into the house of God, I began to keep my eyes on Jesus. And for just a little while, the storm begins to disappear, and the problems begin to grow smaller. Why? Because in God's house, I began to see His glory and His grandeur and how good He is. It's not in my notes, but I remember reading it. David said, the psalmist said, my foot had well nigh slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But when I got in, when I got back into the house of God and I changed my point of reference. Is your point of reference your family? Is your point of reference your job? What is your point of reference? Because your point of reference is what you compare other things to. And most of the time we focus, Brother Wersh, on the things that are going good for us. And then we kind of push the bad off to the side until it gets it too much to handle. And then we have to look at it again and say, you know what? It just kind of stinks. That's what happened with Lazarus. They said, don't open it. Don't look at it. Don't deal with it. He stinketh. But Jesus said, let me look at it. Open it up and let me see, because I can begin to work. And what did Jesus do? You know what? Oh. That's why I like preaching with a man that knows the word. Because what did he tell Lazarus? The same thing that he told Simon Peter. He told him to come. And when he did, he walked out of a place of death. Come on, that's not just a storm. A storm you might can come through with a little bit of wreckage. Maybe a tornado rips your roof off, but I still got my stuff. But when you get put in a grave, there's no coming back from that. But when you begin to hear the voice of God, that God can call you out of addictions. He can call you out of your sins. God can call you out of your broken family. Come on, God can bring you out. But when God calls, you got to hear that voice. Come on, there's somebody that you're sitting tonight, and the pressure of what you're dealing with is trying to cut your very life stream off. But God has showed up here tonight, and He's saying, here I am. Would you look at me? Come on. I hung on a cross. And why was I lifted up? So more people could see me. Why? What did I get hung on a tree? Because everybody that walked by me could look up and live and see the Savior. Come on, He didn't die on accident, but Jesus died and bled, was buried and rose again so that we might have life. We've got to walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, Simon. You're walking on the waves. Is that not enough? Some of you should be dead right now. Or at least extremely hindered, extremely messed up. And the fact that you're here tonight is a testament that God actually cares about you, that He saved you time and again. But I can't fix you. I can't do it for you. But I can say, hey, Jesus is here. Would you look at him? Jesus is here. Come on. When they got in the ship and they began to really behold him and to look at him, they began to worship him and say, you really are the Son of God. That you really are. And when they see it, and when they see it, they began to realize, hey, if he can do this, what else can he do? See, if God can begin to save a man out of a storm, can he save a family out of utter destitution? Can he save the alcoholic? Can he save the pill popper? Can he save the man addicted? Come on, in lusting after things on the internet. Can God save a family that feels so torn apart? Come on, but I'm dysfunctional. It's all I've ever known. Well, I know a God that when you begin to look at his perfection, yeah, he was broken and he was bloodied, but he's got perfection on his mind when it comes to you. But you've got to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher. The author. But I don't know where to go. Look to Jesus. I don't know what to do next. Look to Jesus. Oh, he said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. Oh, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. Oh, hold on a minute. You're saying that he said to us the same thing he said to Lazarus and to Simon Peter? Yeah. But you know, sometimes, Brother Charlie, I won't come to God because I've got problems. That's almost like not going to O'Reilly's because I've got car issues. It's like, what? I can't tell you how many times I've been there. I tell people, hey, I want to invite you to church. At my church, God saves people. At my church, I've seen people who were literally addicted to every kind of drug, and God brought them out. They didn't even have to go through rehab. God saved them. I've seen people that they were so alcoholic that they probably had more whiskey or beer in their system than they did blood. And yet God brought them out. I can I tell you, I know some people that they were so broken and messed up that I don't know if you would have even wanted to be friends with them because they were pretty messed up. I can tell you about a man named Robert Deason, pastor that walked into church. Brother Merritt was preaching, and he walked into church dead drunk. Stumbled into church, shall we say. What are y'all doing here? And we could have laughed. We could have said, hey, get out of here, drunk man. But he was walking through a storm. And it got to the place where Jesus was. And guess what? He came up to an altar. And he lifted his hands. And we said, Robert, if you really want God, you just begin to talk to him. Come on. What we were doing is saying, focus on Jesus. Don't look at the mess that your life is in. Don't look at the problems you walked in with. But look at the God that can solve what you're dealing with. And guess what? That night, not only did Robert walk out of that place, that church house, stone cold sober. He walked out having received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? It's when God's Spirit overcomes every one of our problems and enters in. And God enters into a relationship with us and says, I want to bring you out. Come on, the storm may get bad, but I'm still going to be close enough every single day. I got to have the Holy Ghost. You know how I get the Holy Ghost is I repent of my sins. I've said it because I know the power of laying myself on an altar. Dear God, I'm not perfect. But every time I make a misstep and I seem to... You know, I'm awful worried about my steps. I'm awful worried about making and not stubbing my toe. Ow! If I keep my eyes on where I'm walking, maybe I won't stub my toe. But you can't watch your feet and climb a mountain. And you can't watch your feet and let God do the things in your life that require a miracle. There are situations tonight that God's trying to speak to. Where are you, sir? You dress nice, you look good. You got everything good on the outside. But on the inside, you feel that deep need, that desperation. God, I need you to fix this. God! But if I go to the altar, if I people see me, they're going to think something's wrong. Go ahead. Wait till you begin to slip fully underneath the waves, and then all you've got is two fingers sticking up saying, help me, as you gurgle to your death. Come on, hear me tonight. This is not me just trying to emotionalize you or trying to make you feel bad. This is me telling you that there's an answer of a God who can save a soul that feels lost, that feels undone, that feels so unloved and rejected and broken and pushed aside and looked over. Come on, who's here tonight? The lady that thinks she doesn't deserve God's care and attention because of the story of her past. God doesn't want me. Can I take you to a room full of people where a lady who sold herself to men walks down to the feet of Jesus and breaks open a bottle of perfume and pours it out on his feet? And Jesus said, everywhere the gospel goes, this story will be told of her. Because he, even though she had been through a storm, she had been abused, she had been used, she had been thrown to the side. But Jesus looked into that storm and he didn't push her aside. He didn't say, hey, I don't know who you are. Get your hands off me. You're not worth my time. No, no, no. He overlooked everybody else at the party and said, hey, this is the one. This is the one. Why? Because she was looking unto Jesus. She looked unto Jesus until she found salvation. I wonder if every life, every heart, mind, spirit, and soul, would you just begin to open yourself up to God? I wouldn't force you. I can't look at you and tell you, that you're required to do it. But can I tell you, there's hope on the other side of the waves. Come on. You may feel yourself sinking beneath them, but there's a God that wants you to walk above them. Come on, Simon Peter didn't fail because he sank. He succeeded because the hands of Jesus found him and brought him back up to where he could walk again. Come on, are you not walking like you ought? Are you struggling? Are you battling? Come on, keep your eyes on Jesus. Come on, maybe you've got to get rid of some things. Maybe you've got to break off some relationships. Maybe you've got to let some things get undone in your life. Because you're holding on to them with a death grip and they're causing you to sink. That's called repentance. Jesus. Come on, but it's not bad. It's just a little few fun things that I do on weekends. It's just something that I look at on the phone. It's just a de-stressor. It's just a few friends that we just talk and laugh. No, no, no. It's something that's causing me to sink. And it's taking my attention. See, if Satan can't cause you to give up on God at first, he'll just get you distracted and you can't even see Jesus. And then the waves will get you. Come on. If you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll be able to walk where others drown. Come on, if you want God tonight, you can meet him wherever you are. Come on, but can I encourage you tonight to meet him at this altar? Oh, he can be able to save you. Come on, is there an Orville here tonight? Oh, that was sitting on a back row, holding on to the pew in front of him until the pressure got too much, and he went outside to shake a cigarette out and to smoke it because he just needed to calm his nerves. But a voice spoke to him and said, everything that you're looking for is back inside of that church. And so that night, my grandpa walked back in and he laid that pack of Marlboros on the altar. And he said, Jesus, I'll start looking for you. I'll start walking your way. Come on, you don't have to figure it all out, but I wonder, somebody, would you start walking to Jesus? Come on, the world is getting crazier. It's breaking everything down. Come on, but I'm looking to Jesus. I'm looking unto Jesus. I'm looking unto Jesus. Come on, if you'll lift your voice. Come on, if you can cry out to Him. Come on, He's looking for that voice that's caught in a storm. That voice that is caught in that place of confusion. Jesus.